You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone Cold.
I believe in podcasts. You know? I believe in the podcast nation. Let's put our hands together and listen to a classic podcast. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much. Hold your applause. I'm going to announce my guest. My guest is a tender, tender trap of mine. She is my biggest and darkest of soldiers. You interpret that the way you want to. I'm on complete improvisation autopilot. No brains today, just talking. She is the lead singer of the amazing band Hunter Valentine. You may recognize her from a little show called The Real L Word. Okay, that was on Showtime. You might recognize her from a show that's airing tonight on VH1 called The Linda Perry Project. We don't like that one as much. Put your hands together for Kiyomi McCloskey, everybody.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, what's up? I know what you're thinking. You're like, usually you have comics on, Sabrina. Why did you have me on?
I'm sitting here wondering why you had me on.
I'll tell you why. Because can comics make music like this?
I don't know. I've heard you make a song or two.
Can comedians turn clitorises into erect nipples?
A flash from the future. We were bitter, old and gray.
Is it better to be a comedian or a musician?
I guess you have to think of the reasons that you're going for. Like, if you want to get laid more, I wonder who gets laid more. You as a comic? I mean, before you were married.
Well, I'm married now, so guys, I mean, cancel the sex. Am I right, King of Queens?
I guess there's a certain kind of person that's attracted to somebody funny versus someone who just screams in your face on the stage.
I think, let's be completely honest, you know that it's musicians. Because the sexiest thing, because comics, I always, when I watch Kiyomi on stage too, especially, I just want to be her. And I don't know if that's a faux pas to admit, but I just want to be you when you're on stage, because music, like on stage, when you're a comic, you're being like, this is the truth, man. This is what I see about society. This is the truth. And that's the sexiest part of comedy, is like the power in that.
Yeah.
But like, what's more truthful than like turning your voice into that place where you have to go when you're singing, where you're like vulnerable and being like, you know what I mean? And like actually saying something?
No, I mean, yeah, it's definitely, I've learned over the years that the more you open yourself up as an artist, the more difficult it can be for you as a personality, but it's also more rewarding.
Okay, all right. That's Kiyomi smacking a lady on the butt after a show while she's just cranking it into her.
Oh, wow.
We have fantasy cutbacks on this podcast. I believe in podcasts, and I believe in you. And okay, Kiyomi is one of my bestest friends. We met when she tried to pick me up at a party.
You're still going by that story, huh?
Well, she was trying to pick up the girl that I was with, but we all know, we've all read the game. You pick up the girl that the girl's with because you want the original girl.
That's true. I was trying to get you in that hot tub for sure.
Mm-hmm. She was like, there's a hot tub party, and I was like, it was animalistic the way I seized up and grabbed my friend with blonde hair and made sure she didn't make eye contact with you for the rest of the night. I was like, we will be in this corner.
We're also like 18 or something, I feel like.
We were 18, but I thought you were in your late 90s. Because in my mind, I don't know about you, but like we both started in Toronto. You started music when you were, like, started a band, what, when you were 15, 16?
16, probably.
Me too, so 16. So I had, like, already you're kind of self-centered at that age, not like this age. My website, SabrinaJalise.com. Sabrina. But I remember thinking that nobody else could be as young as me doing things. So I was like, oh, she's in a band, she's on the cover of magazines. She must be, like, 43.
Well, I remember when I don't remember the exact name of the issue, but it was the Now magazine cover where it's like, young kids doing everything.
It was about kids doing porn, and I was heavily featured.
Yeah, I was making
you dinner.
But you were like, I don't know, doing some kid like crazy pose on the cover with a whole bunch of other kids, and I was not featured.
The frizziest hair imaginable. Just imagine the frizziest hair, and then imagine like just a special hairspray that frizzes it out more. Then imagine drying it out in the dry Sahara sun and frizzing it out on top of that.
Wait, were you wearing a halter top, or did I make that up?
No, I was wearing an orange shirt. That was cropped weird on my weird body. I was so... You never went through that. Did you go through like a weird style time where you're like, but I'm a girl, but I'm a man? Like dangly earrings and then like your brother's jeans and then a weird sort of princess tiara.
I just do that every Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
Oh my God, yeah. Remember when we... Kiyomi and I were supposed to have a web series called Butch Ladies in a Dress where we wear dresses and run around Brooklyn. But shout out to Anna Vasilek, who never edited it. Let's get real. We were on the subway just now. Our lives are so synced up. We're like two little gem drops of period syncing together on the New York City transit. Shout out to MTA. And we were on the same car coming to this podcast. Then at one point you said to me, we were talking about I was about to go on a world trip with my wife, mm-hmm. Shauna, in November. Something came up. I have a cool show that I am going to work on. Listen, if you think it's too many callbacks, just read a book on callbacks. There can never be too many callbacks. But I can't go on it because of this. So I can't go on the trip. And then Shauna was having drinks with Kiyomi yesterday. And what happened, Kiyomi?
We were sort of just talking about how I thought it was awesome that she was supportive of you staying at home to get this work thing done, that you, this opportunity that came up for you. Because, I mean, if I were about to go on a world trip with my partner, and I don't know if I would be able to just be like, yeah, you go do your thing and I'll just be in Stockholm by myself. But I think it's really awesome that she's supportive of you. And I told her that I can relate to you and your career right now because we're, you know, our birthdays are what, like 10 days apart or something?
Yeah.
And
we're both born in 1995.
We're the same age. And we have a sort of a landmark birthday coming up next year.
The dirty 60.
And you start to feel the pressure of your career and things that you need to get done before that landmark of an age comes around.
Yeah.
And I think that we're both trying to make certain things happen in different aspects of our career, and you know, the fact that she's supportive of you to go and do that is really awesome.
Shout out to Shauna. Shauna, have sex with me. Ooh, that was a dark lyric there. Yeah, well, when you said that, I said, okay, save it for the podcast, which is what I say to Kiyomi all the time. Anytime she brings anything up that I don't want to talk about, just save it for the podcast. I think, okay, two things. I said to my mom once when I was younger, we were driving to school and I was like 18, like 2 years into my crazy comedy career. And I was like, you know what, Mom? Like, I think I'm going to have a really hard time getting older because of all this crazy success in my youth.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, yeah, you will. And I was like, what? And she was like, well, if that's the way you're thinking about it, then yeah, you for sure will. If you already are putting it in your head that you're going to have a difficult time getting older, but if you just realize that you're going to get older, then you won't. So just like, I think it's all, and the other thing is, I was at a party on the weekend. Shout out to Michelle Buteau. Last episode, I went to her, she was on the podcast last episode. Then I went to her barbecue. Then I got drunk at a barbecue, biked to Walgreens, left my bicycle inside Walgreens, blamed my neighbor who had a party, and said, and went, knocked on his door and was like, one of your guests has stolen my bicycle. And it was a housewarming party too. So it was like, welcome to your new neighborhood. And then I like had, then I, yeah, anyway.
So P.S. I was sitting across from Sabrina at lunch.
While I was watching the security footage.
While she's ignoring all of us watching the security footage because somebody stole her bike. And then this like look of embarrassment and white washes over her face when she realizes that she left her bicycle inside Walgreens. Who leaves her bike inside Walgreens? First of all,
I'm very comfortable with all the folks at Walgreens these days.
Yeah, I bet you are.
I think they knew it was my bike too. They're like, oh, it's that brown chick. She was wasted.
The one that comes in for the toilet paper deal all the time.
Oh my God, I came in with 3 coupons that day. I was too drunk to remember my bicycle, but I had a 30% off coupon, a $4 off coupon, and then some deal of the week.
Good job, bud.
I love it. But now, okay, so to get back on the track of this very focused story, at the party, I said something about how I'm dating a senior, or my wife is a senior citizen, and then I said she's 34. I love to make a joke that Shauna's 100 years old. It's the best. And then all these ladies that are like, honey, we're 40, and like, fuck you. I was like, guys, I'm making a joke about it, and also, I'm 29, I'm turning 30, I'm not going to make a big deal about it. I'm not.
Yeah.
But I've done and I think it helps to also to be dating a senior citizen.
Yeah,
because no
definitely.
Matter how old I am, she's way older.
Yeah, and it's going to be a while before she's, you know, you are changing her diapers now, but it's going to be a while before you even need them.
Before I need to. Well, I still use hers because it's out of convenience. But seriously, I think that it is something that's such a bullshit part of our society. And with body image and stuff like that, I can preach and actually in my mind be like, but I feel fat. But I can be on a microphone being like, girls, love your bodies. But I still, you know, like, I'll still have body image issues. But I do feel that with age issues, I've sort of worked it out where I'm like, no, fuck this thing where we're like, look younger, feel younger. Like, bitch, there's one guarantee, you know, with fat and thin and all that, there's different body types and metabolisms. There's one guarantee. We're all getting older. You can change your face and shit, but then you just end up looking like a different brand of person,
mm-hmm.
like alien person. And also, the other thing is, you've accomplished so much.
And so have you.
There we go.
And also, people are having second and third careers like these days.
Yeah, look at Shauna. She was a janitor when I met her, and now she's making all the money. Fucking janitor. But seriously, Shauna was a stylist in San Francisco. We met there. And then she moved to New York and started from the bottom. She was working at a coffee shop. And now she's killing it, crushing it. Just montage of like, Devil Wears Prada. That's her life. Minus the bitch. JK, I'm the bitch. I'm Meryl Streep.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. So now that we've done that, where I preach about age, I guess we should talk about reality shows.
Okay.
Because what the fuck? How'd you end up becoming such a reality punk?
I have no idea. I remember...
It's just you have no idea and like 1,000 applications for reality shows just spill out of your pocket. Oh, these are just, recycled paper.
I have no idea. No, because I remember this distinctly, like you and I at the gym on the treadmill talking about the real L word and
me being
like, would you ever be on that show? And it wasn't, I asked you not because I like had some dream of being on that show or being on a television show, but
yeah,
we were discussing like how a show like that could help our careers, like by promoting what we do or whatever.
Yes.
And you were like, fuck no, that means having sex on television doing this, because
it wasn't even about the sex on television. What the way I really do feel about the real L word, this being said, I want to foreshadow it with like, I totally get why you did it and I get how great it's been for your career and I wouldn't take it back or like advise you otherwise or anything.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I think that the real L word, like any reality show only succeeds when there's some sort of drama,
mm-hmm.
and makes cartoon characters out of people. And it's like if Jersey Shore was out and being watched at a time where people are like, should Italian people get married? And then it's like cut to like Snooki doing blow off of like some t-shirt press penis.
I missed that episode.
The t-shirt press penis, you know. The t-shirt press made of dicks. but that's the way I felt about it. But that being said, like okay, first of all, guys, I'm so happy Kiyomi did this show because I've been in situations with her where like I get to be her entourage. We went to Provincetown. People were like reaching out to touch her like, ah! And I'm like, bitch, please. This is just my bro, girls. I love it.
That was a funny thing for you guys to experience.
Yeah, because so talk about that. Like part of your career now is like people is going to parties. You've been all over the world, Australia, Sweden. You were just in Sweden for like 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of a crazy experience.
Yeah, I think what's cool about doing a show like that is that, you know, you get to it's exposed in so many different areas and so many different levels of society that you don't even realize the reach that you have until you are invited to
go. That show aired everywhere?
It aired in a lot of countries, but, you know, like, with the internet, everything gets out there. Like,
yeah.
So people...
So even countries where...
Yeah, they can find it. They can find it now. Because it's been, like, what, a couple years since that show was out. But just going to different cities, towns, countries, whatever, and hearing about how you help somebody come out or how you help somebody feel more comfortable with themselves and their sexuality. That's like the really cool part about the job. And I know it sounds dumb to say, yeah, I have an appearance. And you'll be like, oh, what do you do when you go and work that job? Because I literally go to a club and like hang out. And it's the best job ever.
Yeah, it's dope.
But I think, you know, the way to make it actually mean something is to talk to the people who have put you in that position and learn about them and, like, be able to connect with
them.
So
who are those people for you?
What do you mean? They're people in small towns that travel to come
out.
Oh,
those people. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the fans of the show. Now the real L word is, like, taking that franchise and they're actually... turned it into more of a struggle story. So they went into, like, I think, I didn't get to watch it yet, but it's more of a documentary. It's a 2-hour documentary.
Okay.
And they show the struggle story of, like, a group of lesbians in Alabama, I think.
So overall, then, that's a misconception that I had about the show. In your experience, the show actually has helped, and you know, from people reaching out, has helped people come out and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's helped people, you know, come out. It's helped people feel more comfortable in their relationships. And I don't know. I think that, yeah, it can be looked at as like just like this fancy, glam lesbians having sex on television, partying their faces off. But, you know, there are a lot of cool subplots within that story. Like, you know, Casey and Corey, they were two lesbians trying to have a baby, and that shows that struggle. A lot of people out there relate to that. And I think, you know, just knowing that there are other people that have that story, it's, you know, it's helpful.
So one would say that I'm on my worst behavior in terms of...
First behavior. 416.
Motherfucker never loved us. Remember? Motherfucker. Remember? Motherfucker never loved us.
Okay. You had a relationship on the show.
Yes, I did.
I remember you saying that you met a girl on the show, and I was like, this is just for the show, but it was a real love.
Yeah.
And then recently that is new chapters for both of you.
Yep.
And also recently you forwarded me, I mean, it's like just, I don't know. Do you not want to talk about it?
No,
it's
no,
like,
no,
it's
no.
Kind of it's crazy because it's crazy enough to go through a breakup. And then the reality is, yes, you guys put yourself out there, but that's part of your business. You know, what got you to Australia and all these shows and to reach all these fans and make some money was continuing to like Instagram your lives together. And so people felt very attached to you guys as a couple, to you and Lauren.
Yeah.
Shout out to Lauren.
I'm on my worst behavior.
Yo, girl. I'm on my worst behavior touching on this sensitive shit.
Motherfuckers never loved us.
Girl.
Yeah, I mean, it was our choice, obviously, to expose ourselves in that way. I didn't ever expect to meet anyone on a reality show on national television, on international television, I guess, at this point.
Inter-universe. I think there's lesbians on Jupiter being like, yo, there are people just like us. Okay.
It's true. But I did meet Lauren. We spent 2 years together, recently separated. But I don't know. I'm not thinking about it when I'm like Instagramming a photo that like, oh, this is what the people want. It's just like,
it was a photo of you and your girlfriend.
It's like, yeah, sharing your life in the way that people use Instagram. I think that...
And are people still writing you crazy things? Because I do know that there's been some... Like, Kimmy will just forward me, like, some emails that are just like, we need you to be together! And it's like, wait a second. This is someone's real life that you don't know. You've seen pictures of, like, what do you mean?
And I think that
one of them was a mother. One was like, I need this for my daughter. And I'm like, I need your daughter to be taken away. This is how emotional you are about someone you don't know's breakup.
Yeah, people get really attached to reality personalities. Like, they really feel like they know you. And, you know, sometimes that...
Guess what, fools? I'm the only one that knows her. All right? That's me hitting you with a little...
Baseball bat.
It's actually a hardened toilet paper roll that I've laminated.
No, but sometimes it can feel really nice that people feel so connected to you. And, you know, because when you're going through a tough time, you have that support, you know, you have that support as an artist. But other times, yes, they feel like they do, you owe them something in a way because they've been watching your life.
I guess there's just like all sorts of different personality types. Like it's the same thing as when you put a video on YouTube and then like someone's like, you fat packy. And I'm like, wait a second. Yeah. I prefer the other comment.
I know. Fuck
you, skinny packy.
Love the skinny
Someone
comment.
Called me 3 days ago. I got an alert. Also, you get an alert on your, I don't know if, I still get alerts on my phone. So I'm like in a conversation. I'm like, hold on a second. Something from YouTube. And then the thing was, this bitch looks like a fat Michelle Rodriguez.
You know what? You gotta love a clever hater.
Yeah. That's a clever hater.
Because you just have to praise them because it's funny. Like, you're supposed to laugh it off anyway.
I mean, that being said, I do not need clever haters, like, coming up to me with their weird bouncy dick comments.
I know. I mean, it's just a very bizarre thing that somebody would take the time in their life to, if they hate you, go on your page, go on whatever it
Log
is
in,
and be like,
thing.
I hate you, you're fat, you shouldn't have broke up, you looked like shit that night that you went to the bar and blah, blah. Like,
I wrote that because I was mad at you because you weren't texting me back.
But it's just like a weird way of being, like,
it's a weird way to live your life. So let's just actually, guys, this is a PSA. Let's get some background music for this PSA. No lyrics. Music. Okay. We're currently improvised producing a PSA about not being an asshole on the internet. Feeling like an asshole lately?
Don't do it.
Wanting to comment on someone's video, but what you're gonna comment is gonna hurt their feelings?
Put that keyboard away.
Now, you can just live your life.
Under a rock where you belong, you little troll.
First, find a rock.
Make sure it's a safe place.
And make sure the rock's heavy enough to sort of come down on you in an uncomfortable way once you put it on your body.
And remember, this is a no Wi-Fi area.
Bitch, go away. That's good, Kiyomi. That was very good. I think we've got something.
I think we do too.
Now, I guess the next... Well, what? So tonight on VH1, there's a show that's airing called The Linda Perry Project.
Yep.
Now, as your friend, I know this experience has been not... something you want to, well.
No, I'm just trying to keep it positive, you know, like it's.
Okay, cool. So let's do it. The Linda Perry Project, starring Kiyomi McCloskey. When it airs, find a rock, crawl under it.
Make sure you have whiskey.
And drink a handful of whiskey. Okay.
That's I just pictured a troll pouring whiskey into the palms of their hands and slurping it up. No, it was.
Do internet trolls look like the trolls that I used to play with as a child?
I think so, actually, except they've redeveloped their hairstyle so it doesn't just hang.
New hair, new trolls. Internet trolls this summer on Fox.
They should do a reality show about internet trolls.
But no, an animated series on Adult Swim called Internet Trolls, but all of the, it's just trolls that are internet trolls ruining celebrities' lives. Guys, I've copywritten the idea. Don't try and steal it. So you don't, you're, this is just.
No, no. I mean, okay. So Linda Perry Project, music project, make or break is.
Linda Perry, like, is a. Producer, she wrote the song Beautiful.
Yep, she's for Christina Aguilera. She's worked with Pink, she's worked with Courtney Love.
She's worked with me.
Amazing songwriter, amazing producer. We had the opportunity to go on this show and there was eight artists. I don't even know the Laura's always like so fine tuned with the details. I'm like, there was a bunch of artists.
Laura, the drummer from Hunter Valentine. Available on the internet.
most of the time available on the internet naked.
She also looks like me. Oh, yeah, you can see her naked on my website, SabrinaJulies.com.
So a bunch of artists were put in a house to a mansion in L.A., and we worked with Linda Perry. It was basically a songwriting show. Some people think that it's like a competition show. It wasn't really like that because there weren't set rules. Like, she would just be like, I don't think you have it, kid, and send them walking.
Oh, shit.
Like, after the first day. Like, there was no set way to how things were going to go.
Yeah.
It was a really emotional, crazy time for the band. In the last couple episodes, you see that our guitar player, Amy, leaves. And, you know, it's just hard for me to watch right now because it was kind of like a troublesome time in the band's career. But, you know, ultimately, I met a lot of great musicians and got to work with Linda Perry. And, you know, I think it's a good thing. But it is hard.
This is a very diplomatic answer.
It is.
You use the word troublesome.
It's hard to watch yourself on reality.
Oh, totally.
TV. Like, I don't like watching it, but, you know, you have to watch it. Like,
well, I think this one, okay, can I just say, I think in this one, from I've seen a little bit of it, I think that there's some cuts in it that like, you come off a little bit drunkenly, right? That's the troublesome.
That was like the first episode where
now you come off goody-goody?
I think it's just very dramatic right now because we're losing a band member on national television, and she's going to, you know, continue in the quote competition.
Yeah.
competition as a solo artist. So we were kind of like forced to live under the same
cut
roof.
To her number one hit single. JK, Amy Besada, we wish you all the luck, my friend. You a cool girl. I like your style. You a hottie.
We love her. We do love her. But, you know, people want to make it seem like we don't love each other, and we do, which is weird for the general public to be like, stop hating on each other. And I'm like, I'm out for beers with this bitch right now.
Yeah.
I'm giving her a back rub.
We fucking. I mean, do you need the live feed?
Anyway, we'll see what happens for the rest. There's like 2 episodes left. And we'll see whether we come out on top or we're just evil assholes.
I mean, you're good. You're good.
Oh, thanks.
You are good to go. And, you know, if I could cast you in a reality series, I would. And I would want to be a part of it as well.
Well, that's one thing I actually wanted to tell you. I think that it's safe to say that you can consider this my official resignation from the reality TV world.
Really?
I don't think that I would.
Kiyomi McCloskey used to be all over reality television. Today, retired.
I just don't think I would. You do it? What are the scenarios that you would?
Okay,
do
so something
this.
Like Kim Kardashian's show where she's like, you know, she just basically plots out what they're going to shoot and she's got creative control. I'm pretty sure she's one of the producers on it if they don't give her producer's credit. Her mom's a producer. So like something where, you know, it's constructed drama and it's based on, like, you are actually, it goes back to what we were saying before about as an artist being generous and being honest. Mm-hmm. People can read whether it's a fake storyline or not. You know, like a real, something based on what's actually going on in my life and Shauna's life and my friendship with you,
mm-hmm.
but also that I've got some sort of control.
Yeah, so you would have final editing rights.
Yes.
That's like very rare, but
I mean, and you wouldn't be able to have a deal like that unless you were a celebrity that had the pull to get the show greenlit in the first place.
So what would your show be called?
Internet Trolls. No, my show would be called like, oh, wow. Not this again.
Okay. I was going to say that. That makes sense.
You were going to say that?
Yeah.
What would your show be called?
I just retired, Sabrina. You can't try and get it again.
Okay, no, but you would do another show.
It would be called The Hunter Valentine Project.
Would it be?
No.
Are you guys going to change your name?
I don't know. I think that there's definitely some kind of change that needs to happen with the band right now. I don't know whether it's changing the name or...
Maybe the lineup? Sabrina Jalise, Sabrina Jalise, Sabrina Jalise on drums with Laura Petraca.
Well, we can just switch you out.
I can play the clarinet.
You guys look the same, so...
I suggest you bring me into the band and go for a tone like this. Just really imagine that.
Featuring Delilah.
Hunter Valentine.
Well, what would you sing along to this? Can you just give me a little example?
I'm so glad you asked. Just warming up.
Okay.
Just warming up.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. When you're alone in the woods at night, somebody holds a blanket out for you. Who is that old man's hand holding the blanket? A beautiful wool blanket for you.
Oh my God, that was really touching.
I mean, what would you do with the blanket?
I cannot right now.
I can see that you want to do something with a blanket. Come on.
You sound like a cross between Melissa Etheridge and Shakira. Second verse.
I take the blanket, cover my face, because I'm transitioning into... What was the celebrity that you said I was, Kiyomi?
Shakira.
Shakira. Blanket transitions. Looking for my breasts are small and humble. Say don't confuse them with this blanket.
Wait, does she really say...
Lucky for my breasts are small and humble. Say don't confuse them with mountains.
Does she really say that?
Yeah, that's a first world problem. That's a real white girl problem. Classic. Excuse me, miss. Is those your tits or a mountain?
That's a real bad job by the record label with the translator when they brought her over and it just stayed. They're like, maybe some people think it's funny.
Who knows? Maybe no one had the balls to tell Shakira that nobody ever thought her breasts
looked like mountains.
Or anybody's breasts looked like mountains. This is what happens when you get famous. No one corrects you.
I think yours look like mountains.
That's the sound of me banging my hard mountain tits against a tin can. Okay, we're going to call my mom soon, but did I like really get to what I need to get? I mean, like, if you had all your fans in here, what do you think that they would want me to ask you? Probably.
I don't know, but I have to say, I have to give a shout out to the fans because with this show going on right now and airing, they've really like shown a lot of love and support and sticking up to those internet trolls.
Internet trolls.
I think that's the wrong song for them.
For sure. Hold on.
Now they're like The Rock is crushing them and they've died. That's what that song is. But no, yeah, I mean, they've been amazing. I've shown you some of like them. They like fight out there. It's like an internet battle.
It is an internet battle.
The good and the evil, and it just... We're winning. We're winning.
The evil is winning. Shout out to Kiyomi's fans. Shout out to my fan. The one. You know who you are. Little Melissa. In Sudbury. Two broken legs. One broken wrist. But a desire to watch the British Least videos all day long. Little Melissa in Sudbury. I love you. Also, no. Shout out to Vera, who's offered me her father's pizza time and time again.
Oh,
tweets at me every time, retweets the podcast often. Vera, I'm gonna eat that pizza one day.
Where do we get the pizza from?
She lives in Ottawa, I think. Her dad has a wood oven stove. She sends me pictures of the pizza all the time.
Oh, what a tease.
What a tease. Guys, listen, tweet at me with your questions. We will be far and along and gone from this podcast and probably in a fight, never speaking to each other again. But I'm going to do my darndest to get to Kiyomi's people to get your questions answered. So tweet at me, follow Kiyomi on Twitter. God knows I need the followers more than her. So let's get God on my side for once. Oh, I have a cool thing called How Many Questions? We've got two episodes out now. Bonnie McFarlane is in episode one. Nikki Glaser is in the other. Lisa Traeger and I get drunk and just inundate people with questions while they're drunk. Actually, Nikki's sober, but you know, you get the idea.
Drunk sober.
Drunk sober. Yeah, it's really, really funny. It's How Many Questions? It's on YouTube. Okay, I mean, that was a very desperate part of the podcast. It's hard to just get my feet wet with, you know what? I'll call my mom. That's what I'll do.
I'm excited.
Do you have any questions for me? I mean, fuck you.
I wanted to ask you.
It takes a lot of energy.
How do you feel about your 2-year wedding anniversary coming up?
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. blast that shit.
Pretty excited. Pretty excited.
I wish I had worse behavior for that one. How do I feel about that? That feels good because, I mean, marriage, you know? It feels good because I feel she's trapped and she hasn't been able to get away in 2 years. So really, like, the longer you stay in something, they say, Stockholm syndrome sets in.
Okay, yeah.
And she gets afraid to leave the kidnapper.
Well, congratulations. And I have to say that you are a role model for our community.
Okay. Shout out to my wedding video. Google Vimeo, Sabrina, and Shauna spelled with a U to find out more about what our wedding was like and see shots of Kiyomi taking shots. Okay, we're going to call my mom right now. My mom, who, by the way, the day after our wedding, my parents don't drink, and the day after our wedding, did I ever tell you this? She, because everybody was, I mean, like, imagine this. Two immigrants, Pakistani man, Swiss lady, they don't drink at all. My Canadian friends who came into Vermont where the wedding was discovered like how cheap booze were. They bought a giant life-size bottle of Jameson and were like dry humping it on the dance floor and sucking from it at the same time. And my parents were just, and everyone was pretty, just everybody was wasted.
Mm-hmm. I was there.
You were there, yeah.
Do you remember when I... side note, I was there at the wedding. I came.
You had a disaster.
I flew in from Los Angeles to Vermont after shooting a film, and then I had to go to the Northwest Territories for a gig the next day.
And what time was your flight?
My flight was at 6 a.m., I believe.
And how far was the airport from where?
It was in Montreal.
Okay.
So at first I was like, you know, I'll watch a ceremony, I'll grab dinner, and then I'll jump in my rental car.
And it was too much fun.
And it was too much fun. So what did I do? Oh, I went to the kitchen because, you know, that's where they're hard up for some work. So I hired someone from the kitchen to why?
Was it? No, I just wanted to boo you.
To drive my ass to the airport. So, stop booing me. That's such a smart idea.
No, it really is a smart idea.
And sucked from the bottle of Jameson, got my drunk ass into the back of the car, crossed the border, and flew to the Northwest Territories and made my show.
Oh, that story was brought to you by drinking and driving, not doing it, and Northwest Territories, doing it. Drinking and driving, don't do it, and go to the Northwest Territories of Canada.
What a freaking weird gig to have the next day, though.
Oh, yeah. You know, I love you. I mean, you definitely put the most effort into being there, and you definitely enjoyed it. We all enjoyed that wedding. Okay, but what I was going to say, my mom, so everyone got wasted, and my parents are just like watching it being like,
That was a scared sound just for the
no
people.
That was a music. Okay, Wild Ride tweeted at me. Can you tweet at me again what that song is, because I've referenced it before. It's like that classical song when, like, in a horror movie when it's like, Santa Rus. That's Joe, our producer, ladies and gentlemen, straight out of Syria, here to make a mark with Santa Rus. It's called Santa Rus. It's something. Yeah, it's like a classical. Anyway, can I just get to the fucking point? that my mother said the next day, as if she had a case. She was like, well, everyone really drank last night. Enough. Enough is enough. Tonight, we're not having any drinking. And there was like tons of booze left from the first night, and everybody's already wasted.
And then you guys go to a waterfall.
That's adorable, Mom. That's adorable. Yeah, most people were on mushrooms at a waterfall the next day.
Not me.
Here comes my mother. She loves mushrooms. She loves to eat mushrooms and be on this podcast. My mother's segment is brought to you by mushrooms. Eat them. Feel it.
Yes, New York, NY.
Are you wasted?
That's how my telephone announces it. Call from New York, NY.
Why does your phone announce numbers anyway?
I guess it knows that it's a New York number, so it just, and if it can't, I guess, you know, place it to a name, it just, it says, sometimes I get from cell phones up here. It's cell phone.
We've lost all our
Ontario. You know, it's really weird.
You could never cheat on Dad because it would be like, Chris from the hardware store sending you a love note.
Okay. Don't spill the beans now, Bina.
My mother's cheating.
We don't want everyone to know.
Oh, Mom, are you having an affair for real? Because that was good acting, if not.
Okay, I'm not going to tell you that.
Are you frying something, or what's the deal? What are you doing?
I'm putting it away. Yeah, I'm making a bean salad because I'm having visitors coming for supper.
You're getting cocky on this podcast. Frying things and talking?
Yes, I can do two things at the same time. I'm just checking my messages on my phone right now.
Can you throw in a fourth thing and say hi to Kiyomi?
Hi.
Hi, Kiyomi. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Not bad.
Let's get to the goods, Mom. What you want to talk about today?
Huh? Well, remember last time I was saying, I was telling people to read that book, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn.
How many people do you think read the book?
Not too many, I would say.
Not too many.
Not too many, but maybe they will in the future. You know,
hopefully.
It's like, it has over 400 pages, and it's quite small, you know, small print.
People that
so
were
not
about
something
to read
you
it
can
just
read
stops.
Very quickly.
Can you get it on tape, though?
But I think it's a good book to read. I mean, you know what? It's actually this Betty Smith wrote it it was published in 1945, and then made a movie out of it shortly after. And it's kind of about her upbringing. I mean, she changed names around and things like that, but it's more or less about her upbringing, and it's just unbelievable how
What are the unbelievable parts?
How poor. They were so poor, but so resourceful. And, you know, when you can hear that, you know, the mother gave them 5 pennies, 1 penny to go and buy some bones, 1 penny to go and buy stale bread, 1 penny to go and buy, you know, like wilted vegetables, and then she made a meal out of it. Like, it's like,
that's
you know,
how I live in Bushwick.
Living?
That's Kiyomi's life.
But, you know, what is interesting and what I think what would be interesting for you guys is because...
To live that way?
It plays in Williams. It plays in Williamsburg. They said Williamsburg was the slums
of Brooklyn. Oh, it takes
place.
It takes place in
Williamsburg. Yeah, and you know, one day they're, you know, passing by Meserol, and then there's Lorimer, and all these streets, like, you know...
I don't live anywhere near there.
I kind of know from your area. So that, in that sense, and maybe, who knows, there may be some things there that, you know, are actually real, some buildings like schools maybe in certain areas or whatever. So, I mean, for that, I think it's quite interesting to read, but I think it's also good to read and see, you know, how people actually had to live. You know, I'm sure there's, I mean, we know there's poor people now.
I don't think there are, really.
They would have to have... No, they are, Sabrina. Come on.
Well, now we have food stamps.
They can... You know, but still, I mean, there are people who are really struggling, you know, and then you see people who make $120,000 and they can't manage, you know, but then you have people on minimum wage and they have to support the family, you know. You have to really become very, very resourceful. I mean, these kids, during the week, they would collect anything that was metal and then they would sell it on Saturday and they would maybe get 5 cents for it, you know, and that was a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, they would, you know, collect the caps of the beer or whatever it was, you know.
They still do that in my neighborhood.
Yeah, actually, they totally do. Mostly, actually, Asian people have that market pegged, and Puerto Ricans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the bottles, I guess.
The bottles, yeah.
With the deposit and all that, yeah.
Actually, I was wondering.
You guys don't do that?
Do you think maybe for the podcast, for research, you and Dad could do that one day? And we could find out how much money you collect?
I think that your dad would kill it. You know what?
My mom would kill it.
I think you guys, they should compete.
That's what we should do.
Yeah, they should. You should compete.
Oh my God, would that not be the best web series? My dad versus my mom at bottle collecting?
Yeah.
In Brooklyn? In Brooklyn? Oh my God. I'm opening the bid up at $75,000 to purchase my parents forever. Unrelated?
Well,
but
yeah,
you can
sure.
have them. Mommy, who are you having over for dinner?
We just make a barbecue. We're just having a barbecue, Bina.
That's your guest is the barbecue?
And then I'm making a pasta salad.
Who's coming, Mama?
Make now.
Who's coming?
Bobby and Tom and her daughter from Ottawa is coming with her two daughters.
Okay.
So they're coming here for a week, so I invited them for supper today.
I mean, Mom, you continue to amaze me with your generosity, your aptitude for how to react socially in social settings, and just in general, who you are as a person. I've never opened up to tell you this, but I love you.
I love you too, Bina. next time we'll talk about a book that I'm reading right now. It's by Carol Burnett. It's called This Time Together, Laughter and Reflection.
That's a very long name.
Good book. You have to read it. You have to read it, and in there she talks about different scenes she's done with different people, all the same people. Then you can go to YouTube and actually watch it, you know, so it's really fun.
Okay, Mommy. I love you very much.
Okay.
You're my number one mother.
Love you too.
Bye.
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 Love you.
Bye.
I did mushrooms yesterday. Guys, one more time for my mother.
She's turning this into a book club, though.
Yeah, I know. In the beginning, I was asking for her, Who cares what I'm saying? It's the end of the episode. Guys, I honestly think you've behaved poorly today. Go ahead and reprimand yourself by smacking yourself in the ass. Kiyomi, do you have any last minute ideas?
Oh, that's really putting me
on the
spot,
dude. There she goes, just fucking those bitches.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Don't forget to use saran wrap, ladies and gentlemen, or ladies. And last night, I have to tell you something.
What happened?
Last night I had a dream that I fucked a gay man.
Are you a gay man?
I don't know, but in the dream he was like...
No, it's a rhetorical question.
I mean, I sometimes feel like I'm...
Like you're a gay man? Okay,
yeah,
well,
like
go,
a gay
go
male.
On, spill the beans.
In the dream,
he
told me that he didn't want to tell me that gay men really like girls like me because he knew that he would fall
like
in love with me.
That's just our friend Daniel who actually has said that to you. Times. Shout out to Daniel. Daniel, we love you.
Stone Cold.
So I'm like, you fat packy. And I'm like, wait a second. I prefer the other comment. You skinny packy.
I go fooling around and chasing old mistakes.